Well, let's pray over the word tonight. Father, I thank you for the word of the Lord that is always what we need. I pray, Father, that by the Spirit of the Lord tonight, you'd speak into every heart and life, Lord. And I ask that you would use me, Lord, to deliver your word tonight, Lord, in such a way that people be able to hear and receive. And I thank you, Lord, for the fruit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when I was preparing last Sunday's message, and part of that message, we talked about being content with what you have. And in particular, in that message, the focus was on material things and finances when we were, you know, it was a message about financial freedom. And so when we're talking about being content with what you have, we're focusing on that. But I just felt like then, even as I was preparing that message, that I needed to share this message tonight. And this is, the title tonight is Learning to Be Content. And we're going to begin with Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. And I did a message a couple of months ago about being happy. And, you know, our youth pastor right now is doing a series on being happy. And it's amazing the things that contribute to our happiness or take away from it. But I just want you to realize that if you're discontent in life, it's hard to be happy. And we need to learn to be content. Listen, God doesn't want you to be sad and depressed and unhappy. The Bible says, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And He's our God, so we're supposed to be happy. And I'm telling you, we need to learn to be content, because as long as you're disgruntled, discontent, you're not happy. You're not content, and you're not happy. So let's read Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And there's that verse that's so often memorized and quoted. It's such a powerful promise. But, you know, to read it here in the context, he's in particular talking about in whatever the situation is, that God is able to give him the strength that he needs to get through that situation. He says, I've learned to be content no matter what the circumstances. And how we need that, church, in our lives. And I think especially in our generation, contentment brings with it that peace and an abiding happiness. Most of our world is stressed out, running to and fro, frustrated, aggravated all the time. And I'm telling you, for the Christian, there ought to be a contentment about our life that we're just not like the rest of the world. And I want to clarify some things tonight. Paul didn't say that he was satisfied to just do nothing. This is the same guy that earlier, in fact, just a chapter earlier, he was saying, I press toward the mark. I mean, if there was anybody ever that seemed to be determined to push forward and to fulfill the call of God and everything that God had for them, it had to be the Apostle Paul. So he wasn't this laid back guy with his feet propped up somewhere saying, I'm content, you know, got his fishing pole out and just laid. No, this guy was full speed ahead. But in his heart and his attitude, he had learned to be content, even though he was in the midst of difficulties and trials and sometimes need. And I want to tell you, we're not supposed to be lazy, complacent, lukewarm in any way. No, we ought to always be on fire for God, always reaching forward for all that He has for us. Spiritual hunger is a good thing. And we ought to want to know Him more. We ought to want to fulfill the purpose of God in our life. And we ought to always be moving forward as a child of God. Never stagnant, but always pressing forward. But you know, when you look at the Apostle Paul's life, he had learned to be content, and yet he changed things. See, we need to get a grip on this, how this works together tonight. See, if anybody changed things other than Jesus, I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul probably changed things more than anybody else. I mean, he had a huge impact on the world. He wasn't one of those people that, you know, just came into town and never knew he was there. No, he wasn't like that. When Paul came into town, people knew it. I mean, he changed things. And yet at the same time, in his personal relationship with the Lord, he had learned to be content in whatever the situation he was in. Even in regard to needs and understand circumstances, there needs to be some understanding about what he's saying when he says, "I've learned to be content." You know, he says, I've learned to be content whether I'm hungry or full. Now, that didn't mean that he didn't care if he was hungry. That doesn't mean that he's saying it's okay, that he's fine with his needs not being met. That's not what he's saying. Now, you need to understand this. I think it's a trick of the devil to get people to go to one extreme or the other. See, either they're always discontent and frustrated and mad at God because things aren't the way they want them to be, or they go to this other extreme that's just as wrong, where they just accept things as they are and say, well, this just must be the way it's supposed to be. This must be what God wants. And I want to tell you, both of those extremes are wrong. Y'all thinking hard, right? See, if that's the case, if we're supposed to just sit back and just take whatever comes and say, well, you know, that's just the way it is. I'm going to be content even though we don't have any food to eat. Well, how can you have that attitude and pray the Lord's Prayer? Because Jesus said to pray this way, give us this day our daily bread. And I'm just telling you that if you take that to an extreme, then there's no reason to pray because you just go to accept things as they are. You see, there's a whole system, a theological system of teaching that says that everything has already been predetermined, so God's going to do what he's going to do, whether you pray or not. Doesn't really matter if you pray, so just learn to sit back and just accept things as it is. But I want you to know that's not what the Bible teaches. No, the Bible teaches that we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to believe. Well, let me just give you an outlandish example, right? How about the wife who just decides that she'll just accept that her husband has a girlfriend? Huh? Listen, how about the parent then who, when their child is sick and the doctors say they've done all they can do, the parent just accepts that and says, well, that's just the way it is then. No, we're supposed to pray. See, I just take that again for the Apostle Paul. I don't think that the Apostle Paul would have ever said, well, I'm sick, I'm content to be sick. That's not what he's talking about. You see, and that's just a trick of the devil. And so I want you to understand, we need this message about learning to be content. But I want you to understand what we're talking about, because we're not talking about learning to be content with the devil's work and the results of sinful man, and all of the heart. We're not talking about that we just accept all that. No, we're supposed to be a praying people. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive and you will have them. So listen, we're not going to move away from this, that God answers prayer. And when we pray in faith, Jesus said, you believe you receive and you shall have them. See, the Apostle Paul went through some terrible times, but you know what? He came out the other side. There were times he said when he was hungry, but you know what? God must have answered his prayer. In fact, if you read the whole book of Philippians, you'll see that God did answer his prayer. Part of it, he answered it through the Philippians. It's what he's talking about here in this passage. But being content doesn't mean that you accept things as they are. No, you're supposed to pray and believe. And when Paul says he's learned to be content, he's saying that he has learned to keep his victory. He's learned to keep his joy, his peace, and still be happy, even in the midst of terrible circumstances. See, he's not going to allow it to steal his joy. Not going to allow it to steal away his peace. Now, here's something real obvious, but being content is the opposite of being discontent, right? That's pretty obvious. And we need to understand that being discontent is the opposite. So when you are discontent and agitated and frustrated with the circumstances and with life itself, listen, we're not being grateful. We're not joyful. We don't have peace. See, those things don't go with being discontent, disgruntled, frustrated, agitated. In fact, a lot of the time what happens is when we stay like that for very long, we end up getting resentful towards the Lord even, and sometimes even angry at God. But you see, in the midst of the bad situation, it doesn't mean we just accept things as they are. No, we still pray and believe. But in the midst of a bad situation, we still have joy. We still have the peace of God. We refuse to allow the enemy to steal away our joy. We refuse, we keep our cool, keep trusting God, no matter what it looks like. See, I think Paul believed that he was in the will of God. Don't you? Now, when he's writing this, he's writing from jail, from prison. He's writing Philippians from prison. And he's saying, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. And I'm telling you, he actually believed that he was in the will of God. And you need to know that you're in the will of God. See, when he went through adversity of all kinds, you know, when he went into his town and they stoned him, he didn't say, well, I must have been out of the will of God. See, and so I want you to understand that just because you encounter adversity in your life doesn't mean that you're out of the will of God. In fact, when you know you're in the will of God, it helps you to stand fast in that adversity and to make it through it because you know that God's going to bring you through. Here's an important clarification. That doesn't mean that adversity is from God. See, some people put it all together. They want to lump everything together. Well, if I'm in the will of God and I'm going through this terrible thing, that must mean that it's God's will for me to go through this. No, listen. That's crazy. When you're in the will of God, God doesn't bring adversity on you. You have an adversary. That's what the Bible says. And so when you're in the will of God and you're trying to do what God wants you to do, guess what? You have an adversary who's going to bring adversity against you. And he's good. Let me tell you, besides trying to steal your stuff, he's going to try to get your goat. That's figurative, all right? Not literally, at least not for most of us. He's going to try to get to you. And that's where it comes down to, are you going to be content? Are you going to keep trusting God, resting in Him? Or are you going to allow the enemy to get you all agitated and stirred up and angry? No, we got to keep on trusting God and believe in Him. See, if we're in the will of God, we should be content even though we are praying and warring against the enemy of our soul. Now, if you're not in the will of God, well, you need to get in the will of God. In fact, sometimes the Lord allows us, when we're out of the will of God, He allows us to feel unrest Because he don't want us to stay there. He doesn't want you to be comfortable out of the will of God. But you know what? If you're out of the will of God, you know in your heart you're not obeying God. You just need to start obeying God and getting the will of God. But then when you are in the will of God, remember this. It is not God who's bringing hardship on you. Listen, it wasn't God that inspired people to whip and beat and stone Paul. It was the work of the enemy. And in your life, the things that you go through, when you're in the will of God, that's not from God. And you shouldn't just accept it. But at the same time, you're still content knowing that as you trust God and believe Him, that He's going to bring you through to victory. Now, that was a lot of clarification. But the bigger issue with discontentment and the main focus of this message really is not about being in the will of God and going through a trial, but it is just the day-to-day dissatisfaction, discontent that is all around us. It's so common in our generation, this generation of people that say it's never enough. Never truly satisfied. I've shared this before, but it gets the point. It was spring, but I wanted summer. The warm days, the great outdoors. It was summer, but it was fall I wanted. The colored leaves, the cool, the dry air. It was fall, but it was winter I wanted. The beautiful snow, the joy of the holiday season. It was winter, but it was spring I wanted. The warmth and the blossoming of nature. Well, here's another one, if that one didn't get you. I was a child, but it was adulthood I wanted, the freedom and the respect. I was 20, but it was 30 I wanted, to be mature, to own my own house. I was middle-aged, but it was 20 I wanted, the youth and the free spirit. I was retired, but it was middle-aged I wanted, the presence of mind without limitations. Then my life was over, and I never got what I wanted. And I'm telling you, it's the American way. People always want what they don't have. It just amazes me. Women with curly hair get straighteners, and women with straight hair get perms, and it's just... Max Lucado refers to our discontentment as the prison of want. It's prisoners want something bigger, nicer, faster, thinner. If your happiness comes from something you deposit, drive, drink, or digest, then you're in the prison of want. If you're hoping that a change of circumstance will bring a change in your attitude, listen, you're locked up. You're in a cell. We got to realize that that's not the source of our contentment. See, we convince ourselves that life will be better when we get to be an adult, after we're married, after we have a good job, after we start a family, then life's going to be better. Then we get frustrated that the kids aren't old enough to mind or take care of themselves a little bit or be left alone or old enough to play sports yet. So we'll be content when they get just a little older. And then they become teens. We're frustrated because we've got to deal with teenagers. Tell ourselves, well, life will be good when the kids are finally grown and we can have some time for ourselves again. And same thing over and over. And I'm telling you, church, whatever it is, this discontent, it's all around us. And so much of the time, we allow that in our lives and allow it. Listen, it keeps us from enjoying the moment. And just all the good things that God has given us, just that discontent. Listen, we get discontented over big things and little things. It doesn't make any difference. In our country, we can be discontent about just about anything. But I want you to remember this. The Apostle Paul was a prisoner. He was bound. He could have been constantly upset and agitated and saying, I should be out starting churches. I should be out where I can really make an impact. I need to go back and visit those churches again. But somehow, he says, I've learned to be content. Now, I like it that he says, I've learned to be content. It wasn't automatic for him. And, you know, here he is after 25 years of ministry. He says, I've learned to be content. That means there's hope for us. We can learn. But let's be learning. Let's don't be like the world. Let's decide we're going to learn to be content. We're not going to put up with that constant discontent in our life. I don't think we're going to get it all tonight, but let's just make up our mind that we're going to start, that we're going to learn it. Got to know that our contentment doesn't come from the situation we're in. See, he said, I've learned to be content in whatever my situation. See, our contentment has to be based on our relationship with the Lord. See, Paul said in verse 12, he says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I've learned both to be full, to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Regardless of the circumstance, whether we have money right now or don't, whatever it is, we can still be content because our contentment is not based on the things we do or don't possess. Our contentment is based on our relationship with the Lord, that He gives me the strength for whatever my situation is. I like this from Chuck Swindoll about attitude. He says, the longer I live, the more I realize the impact of attitude on life. Attitude to me is more important than facts. It's more important than the past, the education, than money, than circumstances, than failures, than successes, than what other people say or do. It's more important than appearance, giftedness, skill. It will make or break a company, a church, a home. The remarkable thing is we have a choice every day regarding the attitude we embrace for that day. We can't change our past. We can't change the inevitable. The only thing we can do is play on the one string we have, and that is our attitude. I'm convinced that life is 10% what happens to me and 90% how I react to it. And here's what I'm saying to you about this thing about attitude is that, you see, having that attitude that I'm content, I'm telling you, that you're 90% of the way when you get that attitude. You're 90% of the way to victory when you get the right attitude about it. But as long as you're discontent and you're getting grumpier and grumpier and you're mad and this went wrong and that went wrong, you end up, listen to me, you end up living and acting just like unbelievers who don't even know God. Got to learn to be content in whatever the situation. Now, this discontent is all around us. And you know, a whole lot of it has to do with material things. We talked a lot about this on Sunday, but I'm going to touch on it again. We're just bombarded with all this advertisement and stuff all the time. You know, they spend billions of dollars to make you feel unhappy. Oh, it's right. They spend billions of dollars to get you to realize that you can't really be happy without their product. I mean, if you had that new car, if you had those new clothes or whatever it is, you need what they're selling for you to really be happy. It's amazing how successful they are at it. I think part of the reason, though, that we can live in the most affluent society that's ever been on the face of the earth and yet be discontent has to do with us comparing. So here's a real pitfall. If you're going to learn to be content, you can't compare. If you want to compare, see, when we compare, especially when you're talking about material things, we seldom find people who are in third world countries living with almost nothing and compare ourselves. We don't do that. If we do, we tend to open up our pockets, but we don't do that very often. No, what we tend to do is if we're going to compare, especially about material things, we like to find somebody, we look at somebody who's got a little more, and we say, well, why should they have that? Why can't I have that? Well, that's not fair. I'm not happy now. I mean, I liked my car until I saw their car. You know what I mean? I mean, this car is way better than that old junker I used to drive. But now, look what they got. Some of you liked your husband until you saw Carmen's. Hey, it's not that funny. I'm just saying. Yeah, I don't know where that came from. It's not in the notes. Anyway. But we do this thing where we compare with other people and it leaves us with that discontent. And I'm just telling you, we talked about comparison, we talked about pride, but don't let yourself fall into that trap of comparison. It'll always leave you with that feeling of envy and discontent and wishing that you had more. I'm telling you, there's not a person in this room tonight, no matter what your situation, your difficulty, I'm telling you, there are people way worse off than you. There are people who can't get out of the hospital. There are people in such abject poverty, they wouldn't know what it's like to sit in an air-conditioned building like this. We just, you know, it's all relative. But you see, when we compare, we always compare to other people that are better off, and it leaves us feeling discontent. We find ourselves feeling sorry for ourselves, discontent. It's one of the surest ways to make yourself discontent is start comparing with somebody. Now, even beyond material things, people so often become discontent with their life, discontent with their job. And, you know, these are big things now, but discontent with their spouse, discontent with their church, discontent with where they are in life. Listen. Pray for change. Now, when you pray for change regarding a spouse, that doesn't mean a different spouse. That means you're praying for change with your spouse. And by the way, let me tell you how God usually does that. He usually starts with the one praying, by the way. But pray for change. Believe God for change. And at the same time, all right, now listen to me. I'm not saying that if you hate your job, your job is horrible. I'm not saying just accept things the way they are. I'm saying pray about it. Pray and believe. And at the same time, refuse to be disgruntled and angry and discontent. Pray. How are we supposed to pray? With thanksgiving? Not with discontent. See, we're not... A lot of people sound like they're complaining when they pray. Don't complain when you pray. But ask God and believe you receive. And listen, I know that's not hard to do. I mean, that's not easy to do. I know that's hard to do. But church, this is where we got to get this, is that at the same time we are praying, we're believing God. And I see this in the Apostle Paul, who wrote this under the inspiration of the Spirit. I've learned to be content. And yet he prayed and he believed for things all the time. So we pray and we believe, but we don't get negative and we don't complain and we don't allow that spirit of discontent to get on us. You know, it reminds me of the children of Israel when they were in the wilderness and God fed them every day with manna. And they began to grumble and complain. And listen, sometimes God will give you what you want. Listen to me, when you're praying with discontent, when you're complaining, are you hearing what I'm saying? But it's seldom ever a good thing. When God answers that prayer, you're not going to like it. And you know, most of you know the story, but they complained about the manna. They wanted meat. And so God gave them meat and he said, you will eat it until it comes out your nostrils. That's not a good thing. But you know, I can't help but wonder, and I don't know. I don't know everything, but I just can't help but wonder, though, that if they would have just been thankful and been content and just thank you, God, for provision every day and not allowed themselves to get over into that discontented grumbling and complaining, if that maybe the Lord wouldn't have just gone ahead and sent some quail. Or maybe in the right spirit, they could have, in the right spirit, now understand what I'm saying, in the right attitude, they could have just prayed and said, Father, could you send us some meat? We thank you for this manna, but we ask you, if you would, send us some meat if it's all right with you, Lord. I mean, in the right spirit, in the right attitude, couldn't they have asked? But you see, they got discontent and they complained and it brought judgment on them. And so what I'm saying to you is, listen, don't be accepting of terrible circumstances and adversity in your life, but don't let the spirit of discontent get on you. Instead, make up your mind that you're going to pray and believe God and keep your heart and your attitude right. See, when you're praying, if you believe that it's God's will, you're single and you believe it's God's will for you to get married, you just, God's put that in your heart. I'm not telling you to just accept the fact that you're single and never pray about that. No, you need to pray. Pray and believe. But don't be mad at the world and discontent and where you can't even enjoy life because you're just a half looking for your other half so you can finally be whole. And, you know, no, you need to pray and believe, but at the same time, be content right now. See, it's that resting and trusting in the Lord. See, if you're praying, maybe you're a couple, you're praying for a child. Well, pray and believe. And at the same time, just be content to trust the Lord and know that God is God. He's got it under control, the right time, the right way. He's going to answer your prayers. Amen. See, when you're sick, pray and believe. Don't just accept that sickness. But you see, that discontent is the wrong attitude for prayer. Contentment, thankfulness, gratefulness, that's the right attitude for prayer. Oh, how this affects so many things in our life. It affects our witness, it affects our prayer life, it affects our worship. We got to find out, we got to figure this out, that our contentment is in Him. That's where our contentment is. It's our confidence is in Him. No matter what our situation, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's what he said, verse 13. I can do all things in every situation, whatever I'm dealing with, I can do this through Christ who gives me strength. See, we got to learn to look to Him. He's our source, and whatever the situation is, we're looking to Him for strength to get us through so that we can overcome. You think about all the things that the Apostle Paul went through with beatings and stonings and shipwrecks and people that hated him and wanted to get him all the time. And you see, he had lived this. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. No matter what he dealt with, no matter what he was facing, some of you are facing some hard times right now. Listen. You can do it through Christ who gives you strength. You see, you're not accepting things as they are. You're praying, you're believing that God's going to do a miracle, that God's going to come through for you. And at the same time, there's a contentment. Because you believe, there's a contentment in your heart. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's where our strength comes from. We're not fretting and worried and upset and aggravated, frustrated. No, we're resting, we're trusting in Him. Story about a millionaire, William Randolph Hearst. invested a fortune in collecting art treasures from around the world. One day he hears about this valuable artifact, and so he sends one of his agents abroad to track down this artifact. And the guy goes all around the world, and he finally figures out where it is. And they found it stored in one of his own warehouses. Been searching all over the world, and yet he had it right there all the time. You know, so many people, and listen to me, even believers are looking, searching. They think if they get this or if they find that, that then they're going to finally find true contentment. And the whole time, it was right here. It's the Lord. That's where your contentment comes from. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Well, stand with me. Let's pray. Father, my prayer tonight is that first You forgive us, Lord, for times that we've been discontent, angry, frustrated, Lord, in any way towards You. Lord, and I just pray that tonight, that in our hearts, we would truly trust You and rest in You. Cast all the care and the burdens of this life, the things that have weighed heavy on us, Lord, we just turn those things over to You. Turn them over to You with thanksgiving, knowing that You are a great and mighty God. Oh, and Father, I just pray that every person in this room tonight would just be unburdened in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Free. Free from all of that care of the world and all of the things that have pressed in upon us, Lord. And Father, I pray that in our hearts, Lord, we will long and chase and run after nothing else but You alone. You are our all in all and our everything, Lord. You're our life. Lord Jesus, I just pray that we'd find that true contentment in You, that in every situation, we've learned to be content. I thank You, Lord, for the peace of God just being upon us tonight, Lord. As we go from this place, Lord, we're going to go out of here with joy, peace, the touch of God on us, the hand of God upon our lives. Hallelujah. I thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to let you be dismissed, but if you need prayer tonight, I would be glad to pray with you. I'm sure there are other prayer partners that come and help us too. If you need prayer, you come on down. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Lord bless you.